Of you, and we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in this place. God, you're so good. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Ah, you're so incredible. Father, we praise you for the presence. We thank you for just who you are. Lord, we glorify you, God. Lord, I pray, man, we just fall in love with you more and more every day. Lord, we get more intimate with you, with more of a knowledge of your word. Lord, I pray that today would bring a fresh perspective of your word, God, that resonated in our hearts, God. It would give us something to more chew on, God, and meditate on. Father, that we just get more in you and knowing your word and what your word says about our lives, Father. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up everybody to hear in this place to hear your word. Lord, I pray for their ears to hear it and their hearts to receive it. Lord, I pray for my mouth, God, to speak it, Father, with an anointing. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, so we're going to talk about some finances today. Oh, man, don't get quiet on me now when I start talking a little bit. Don't get quiet on me, okay? Y'all can say amen, even though it may hurt a little bit. It's okay. It's the word of God. I'm going to preach it. It's okay. We'll get there. All right. I'm not going to be preaching from First Opinions of Brandon chapter 3. I'm going to be bringing them straight from the word of God about our finances. So I've got a lot more scriptures than usual. And so we're going to be reading a lot of things as we go along, because I want you to hear and see what the word of God says. Amen. You guys good on that one? Now, I've been racking my brain to think of, is there any area in our lives that doesn't have to do with finances? And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe love. And I started thinking, well, if I told my wife that we were just going to sell everything and we're going to go live in the woods in a tent, I think that love would be challenged. See, I think that would be a challenging thing right there if that happened. So that's right. So everything in our lives has something to do with finances. Amen. Everything. I mean, I just start thinking, just what, is there anything? There's nothing. I can't think of anything. If you think of something later on, come tell me. Don't right now. All right. But I haven't been able to think of anything. I think about Brother North. Brother North, you got a little garden. You got some vegetables and stuff. Was that free? Was it free? No. It does not. Why? You got to pay for the seeds. You got to all kinds of fertilizing. You got to the watering, the land, all kinds of things. You know, my chicken eggs, they're not free. I got to deal with that cotton picking rooster. It's still alive. Y'all calm down. Okay.
Have mercy.
Glory. So every area of our lives has something to do with finances. Don't you think it's important that we line our finances up with what the Word of God says? Don't you think it's important that we really study God's Word when it comes to our finances and lining up how we spend and how we do with our money to make sure it lines up with God's Word? Amen. James 1:22. I want us to look at this one. Here we go. James 1:22 says, what version is that one? I don't know. Let me read this one. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be doers of the word. What version is that one? Whatever. It's cool. Be doers of the word. Don't just listen to it. Be doers of it. Come on. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. So everything in our lives, we should be seeking God's face with direction in every area. We're quick to pray about our kids, right? Man, we will seek God's face when it comes to our kids if they're sick. We will pray any kind of prayer we can pray when it comes to our kids, right? Come on. When we need a miracle in our lives, we got a health issue, we're going to be quick to pray about our health. We're going to be quick to pray if we need a financial miracle. Come on, we're getting ourselves in a pickle. Come on, we're gonna pray, Lord, I need a miracle financially. But what about on the front end of it? Do we pray to God, say, God, what do we need to do with this check? How do I need to spend this money? What do I need to do to honor your word with these finances? Do we really seek God's face and how we spend our money? Or is it only when we come to a need is when we really go before the Lord? Come on, it's important we get on the front end of this. And we seek God's face in every area of our lives. And when we get our check, God, how do I need to spend this money? Amen? So I want to dive into God's word today. And I want to talk about three aspects of his word. I want to read one more scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I want to read this one too. It says, what version are you in? Oh, New King James. Well, I didn't know that. I got NIV written here. Oh, it's okay. See, then you walk circumspectly, okay, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. One more. What's the next one? 17. That's cool. I'm going to read my version. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I'm in the NIV, okay? Understand what the Lord's will is. We got to understand what his will is with our finances. Amen? Okay, let's go. I've got 3 points I want to share with you today. Give me about 15, 20 minutes. I'm not going to just spend just a massive amount of time in this, but my prayer is this, is that with this word that you would take some notes, that you would go home and dive in this for yourself, okay? I'm all about wanting you to find out what the Word of God says. I don't want you to say, well, Pastor Brandon said. No, I want you to say, well, the Word of God says. Amen? Amen? That's true. I want you to say, well, this is what the Word of God says, and this is why I believe it. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we read this a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to just read it through the NIV. Hope I don't confuse you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each of you, very common scripture. We hear it a lot, right? We hear this text a lot when it comes to giving. And then we're going to talk about this. It's very important. So each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right. Not reluctantly or under compulsion is what my version says. All right. Please don't give if you ever feel like you're being coerced, if you're feeling pressured. Pastor and I don't ever want you to feel that way. Ever. Okay. If you ever start feeling that way, do me a favor, don't give. Okay? Don't give. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I want to look at. Each of you should give what you have decided. What you have decided. All right, now don't throw anything at me when I talk about this. Now, each one of you in this room has already decided what to give today. Yes. You've already decided when you got your check, you've already decided to give or not to give. You decided to give this amount, or you didn't, or you decided, I'm not going to give at all today, this Sunday, out of this check. It's truth. Come on. It's truth. Okay. You've already decided whether you're going to give or you're going to tithe or you're not going to tithe, or you're going to give a little extra or you're not going to give a little extra. That's truth. Okay, everyone in this room has come in here and already decided. You good there? We on that same page. Okay. Then what the next part is where I'm really wanting to hammer on. And I really want to land on this whole message. You're going to hear this because it's the whole heart of giving. It's what you've decided in your heart to give. What you've decided in your heart to give. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Luke 6:45 says, the good man, or it says at the very end of it, let's read real quick, says that where your treasure is, okay, is what the heart speaketh. Where your heart is where your heart, what the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart, it comes out. How you decide to spend your finances and give your finances, what's in that heart is going to come out. Don't shoot me because I'm just preaching the word. Okay? What's in your heart? So the first part about finances, about godly finances, is check your heart. Check your heart. Are you looking at Scripture and finding ways not to give? Or are you finding Scripture as looking and diving into the Word of God to find out ways to give? And finding out how the Word of God says to give. If you read from cover to cover, all throughout the Word of God, it is all about giving, 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 giving. Cover to cover. Cover to cover. So what do you treasure? Because what you treasure comes out. For me, I love God, man. I love and I passionately pursue God. I do. And when I come to my finances, I pray, God, give me wisdom with these things. You've entrusted me. These are 100% yours. I'm going to give my tithes, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Then I'm going to give. I want to make sure I provide it for my family. I'm going to provide it for my family. But something else I treasure my God. I treasure my family. But you know what else I enjoy? I treasure, and this is a fleshly thing, but I love hunting. That's a treasure to me. I enjoy it. It's something that I enjoy. So you know what I do? Just like I do with my family and my God, with all these things, I budget for it. I budget for it. See, I know when hunt season's coming around, so I budget for it. All right? Now, DJ, I was going to pick on DJ, but he's not here. Well, I'm still pick on him. I think DJ's more like God and then hunting and then family. April's like, yeah, that's probably true. That's just, no, it's not true. But see, when we come to things like this, we budget for it, right? Because it's something that we enjoy. Come on. When it's opening season, guess where I will be most likely? 99% chance I'm going to be in the blind sitting there watching for deer to come in. It's an amazing. I mean, you spend a stupid amount of money, and you work your tail end off all throughout the year just to sit in a blind for 4 or 5 hours. It's amazing. But see, the thing is, it's something that I treasure. I what I do is I budget for it, okay? Am I going to come, and I'm going to step on something here. I'm going to step on some toes on this one. Okay, so I treasure this. So you know what I do when I come in to my blind? I don't really want to come into that blind late. Because I enjoy being in that blind. Don't get behind this just in case y'all throw something at me. Now, see, I enjoy coming to church. But to Gary and Jennifer, I am always late. Yeah. It don't matter what time it is. Every time I walk in the door. Unless I beat him. I beat him here this morning. When I preach, I usually beat him. But I pray every single time. Gary's like, I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm way early. But see, it's something I treasure. I treasure that. I treasure being with my God. I treasure being in the Word of God. I treasure spending time with the Father. I treasure being in the house of the Lord. I treasure being with my family. And so things that I treasure, I budget for, I plan for. I want to make sure I'm honoring my family and providing for them. And so what I do with finances, with the giving, okay, I want to make sure I line up and honor the Lord with my first fruits. I want to honor him because he's the one who blessed me and gave me that job in the first place. He's the one who's walked me to where I'm at today. He's walked me through some hard times. But boy, has he blessed me and taking care of me. And it's going to get us into talking about tithing. So my first point I want to really hammer in, and this is the most important aspect that I want you to hear, is check your heart. Check your heart. Check your heart. So the second thing is tithing. I've shared this story before, but it's such a good story, I'm going to go ahead and just share it again. Tithing is a tenth. It's the first fruits of a crop. It's the first fruits of our income, of what comes in, okay? So when we get our check, it's the tenth. It's the first fruits. Man, it should be the first thing that comes out of your budget. We budget for it. Okay, now check this out. My wife came to me, and it was probably about 15 years ago. And, or 16, it was a long time ago when we first, early on in our marriage. She came to me. She said, "Brandon, why are we so broke?" And listen, at this point of our marriage, man, we had already, where we were at, we had already gone through all the jars of coins, already hunted the couches. Come on. Already done the car thing, dug in all kinds of crevices between the seats, try to get all kinds of quarters, get a couple of bucks to get some gas so we can get to work. Come on, amen. My wife came and she says, "Why are we so broke?" And I said, "Baby, I don't know. I'm working my tail end off." And you know what she asked me? She didn't ask me about my work. She didn't ask me, what kind of hours am I getting? What kind of bills we have? You know what she asked me? Very first question, the only question she asked me, she said, and she, man, she is a godly woman, boy. I tell you, I fell in love with her even more that day. She said, "Are we giving our tithes?" "Well, no, because everything's really tight right now." You know what she did? She just like, "And that's our problem," and walked off. Hashtag just dropped the mic. Just walked off. That's the problem. She didn't ask me about anything else. She didn't ask me anything about the budget of how we spend and everything else. She just straight up asked me, are you tithing our finances? Are you giving the first fruits?" And I said, "Well, no. Well, that's our problem." But I tell you what, I made sure I gave my first fruits that very next Sunday. And I've been doing it ever since. And God, I promise you, I can tell you right now, and I'm going to testify from this, I have never been broke since. Amen. I have not been broke. Amen. I've been a little low on some cash, but I've not been broke. Not like that. I promise you. It's important we give our tithes. And I want to read some scripture that I want you to see for yourself. We're going to dive into it, and I want to encourage you to write these scriptures down for yourself. If you're not understanding tithing and you want some more clarity to it, dive into it. Okay, so first thing is this: as ever, we've heard the argument of it's an Old Testament thing because it's mostly mentioned in the Old Testament. Well, it's a law thing. It's from Moses. It's under the law. That's not true. Read in Genesis chapter 14, 18 and 20. Abram, before the law, was giving tithes to King Melchizedek, the high priest. Amen. Before the law, Jacob was giving tithes. Before the law, Genesis 28, and then we see Moses coming in, talking about bringing it into the law. Okay, Malachi 3:10. We see this a lot. We hear it a lot, but it's the truth. The prophet Malachi comes in, and this is getting close to as they're beginning to start waiting on the coming Messiah. They've rebuilt the temple, and Malachi is coming in and is trying to help correct and trying to make sure we keep the Israelites in focus, okay? And he says this, 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." Come on, the church. "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough in you to store it. That you'll not be room enough to store it. That God would open up the floodgates. Come on, when we trust God and we honor Him with our first fruits, God blesses. That's all there is to it. We line our lives up with God, and God honors that. Listen, it's not an Old Testament thing. Jesus talks about it. In Matthew 23:23, it says, he addresses it. Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." You know, Jesus, and you see in the New Testament, you see a lot more of a heart issue. We see more and more and more of the heart issue there. But Jesus is saying right there, he said, you know, you need to be practicing both. Grace, mercy, love, and tithing. That first fruits. Amen. Come on, it's okay. I know it's quiet. It's cool. It's cool. I don't mind it. I love talking about it because I know what's done in my life. It's cool. Malachi said, prove me in this. So prove God in this. It's not a religious thing. It is a covenant thing with God. He says, prove me. It's the only area in the Bible. Only area in the Bible where it says, prove me in this, that I not open up the floodgates in your life. I'm going to prove him on that. And I did. I did. And God is blessed and taking care of my family. Amen. I know it's quiet. It's cool. I don't mind. Where do we get? So where do I tithe? Where do I need to tithe? People ask me that. Okay. They believe in tithing, but then they say, well, can I tithe somewhere else? Can I give this other place or do whatever? You know, the Word of God, everywhere when it talks about tithing, it talks about to the church, to ministry, to the priests. Okay. So when we tithe, we give to the church. Now, can we give to any other ministry? Sure. Okay. But the thing is this. When you give tithes to the church you are a part of and the ministry you are connected to, here's what you're doing with that tithe. You are helping your neighbor, the person sitting right beside you, hear the Word of God. That's what your tithe goes to. Your tithe goes to help bless and be able to help put that word into your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives. Amen. Okay? That's what it does. It allows this and keeps this all this going. That's what your tithe does. Keeps the budget going with this with the church. Just being real with you. Okay? That's what your tithe does. Keeps the lights on. Keeps things flowing here. It helps support our pastor to be able to do this full time and not have to do a side job. So when you're asking and praying about your tithing and where to give, really pray and make sure, I mean, really pray and ask the Lord really where He's wanting you to give it to. And I'm telling you, when you give it to this church body, okay, that's feeding you, I'm telling you, God's it goes out and shares the gospel. We keep the same vision, right? We have the same vision. And that's why I believe it's important we give to the house of the Lord that we're attending and we're supporting. Okay. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:19 or 3:9-10. Another scripture about our tithing. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. That's what we're doing with our tithes. We're honoring the Lord with our first fruits of all your crops. Honoring the Lord with the first fruits of our crops. That's what we're doing. When we give our tithes and we pull that thing out at the budget at the very beginning, we're telling God, I thank you first off. For everything. All this money is yours. 100% of it's yours in the first place. You're giving it to me to be a steward of it. And I want to give you these first fruits to honor you. And I'm lining my life up with your word. Man. You know, the word of God says the money is the root of all evil. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can to keep my finances lined up with his word. And I'm not getting it out of control with how I spend it and how I do it. I want to honor him. Amen? I want to go with what the word says, not what Brandon says. Verse 10 says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. I know there's a lot of prosperity preachers, lots of people that preach and just hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer and all about giving. I don't ever want to go in that direction. But I'm telling you, the word of God is plain. It is very clear. You either believe it or you don't believe it. You either believe some of it or you believe all of it. Come on, believe all of it. Right. Every bit of, including with our finances. Right. Amen. So when the word of God says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, I believe that. I believe when I give my tithes and I honor God with my tithes and my first fruits, that my barns are going to be filled. Amen. That God's going to provide for me. Because that's what my Bible tells me. And your vats will brim over with new wine. Come on. I love it. It's cool. I love talking about finances. Whether you like to hear it or not, it's cool. I'll preach it all day long. Okay, hallelujah. Let's talk about number three. So we can talk about check your heart. We talked about tithing. Now let's talk about crazy giving. All right, so the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse, is it 7? No, go to 6. It's the one before that one. It's cool. I'll go. Okay. All right, now we said this last Sunday. So, okay, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Let me read that again. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly.
That's right.
That's the word. That's not Second Opinions chapter 3. That's whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap. Sort of, kind of, a little bit. Generously. So if I sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's interesting. It's God's word. But it's not about the dollar amount. It's what's in the heart. It's what's in the heart. Mark chapter 12. 41 and through 44, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins worth only a few cents, calling his disciples over. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into this treasury than all the others. They all give out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." Amen. She gave out of her heart. Yep. She gave out of the love for the church and ministry. She gave out of love. It wasn't about the dollar amount. See, your tenth, whatever it is, it's not about if it's a huge amount or a little bit amount. It's about the obedience, and it's about what's in the heart. Do I really want to honor God with my finances, or do I want to just try to handle it on my own? I want to do it on my own self. I think I can do better than God can with it. That's the stupidest thinking I've ever heard in my life. I'm just being honest with you. Okay, here we go. Crazy giving isn't about a dollar amount. It's about just being obedient to what God is unctioning in your heart to do and give. And that's why that's what you preach here so much is, man, give what God's telling you to give. What God's tugging on your heart to give, do that. If you got a $10 bill and a $100 bill, and God's saying, hey, give that $10 bill. Give that $10 bill. Period. Well, how many churches are going to say that? Crazy giving, man. Just being obedient with his word. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. Even if it's a little bit. You know, we've had so many people donate and give to Raise the Roof. We've had this awesome amount that people have been given. $5, $10. Awesome! Praise God! We've also had somebody give us $100. Man, praise God! They were obedient to give that. Praise God, they were obedient to give a dollar because that's all they had they wanted to do. They wanted to support, they wanted to bless because that was what was in their heart. Yeah. Praise God, we had somebody give us $1,000. Well, praise God, somebody was obedient to give that $1,000. Hallelujah. Somebody was obedient to give $10,000. Well, hallelujah, praise God. Yeah. It's not about the dollar amount. No. It's about the obedience. It's about the obedience. Now, I'm telling you, I want to talk about a couple of stories real quick. I know a lot of people, I hear it, oh man, I hear it so often when you get into conversations about ministers and people say, oh, these ministers have all this kind of money and they shouldn't have all this kind of money. They shouldn't have the cars. They shouldn't have the planes. They shouldn't have the property. They shouldn't have this and they should. Ministers should be poor. Ministers should be have nothing. Ministers should be driving raggedy cars. They shouldn't have nice things. Kenneth Copeland is a big time minister, okay? Big time target for criticism. There's some things that he said that I kind of scratched my head on. I'm not gonna lie. Okay. But when it comes to his giving and what he does overall in his ministry, okay, it's incredible. It's incredible. See, people criticize him because he's got a bunch of planes. But you don't know what he's done with those planes. You don't know how many times he's given planes away and somebody gives him another plane. It's happened over and over and over again. He'll give it and somebody will give him another one. He'll give it and somebody will give him another one. Do you know when Katrina hit, he was flying planes back and forth, one of the only ministers trying to get people getting food over there, flying back and forth from Eagle Mountain, pouring out, filling up the planes and just going back and forth completely at the cost of the ministry. Do you know how much it costs to get a plane over there? A lot of money for one trip. He was doing it over and 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 over again. You know, here recently, and I saw a Facebook post and I was like, well, is that really the truth? Because I saw this post that went around on Facebook about him connecting with Glenn Beck. It's going over there to Afghanistan and help him pull some of our Americans out. Total true story. I wanted to find out, did he really help do that? Yes, he used his planes to fly that group over there and help get people back. Amen. Completely at that ministry's cost. So don't tell me about how it's ungodly to have all kinds of nice things like that. Because see, the thing is when we give big, God gives us more to give. See, when we trust God with $100, come on, he sees us. Okay, we're going to be faithful with that. He's going to do more for us to give out more and do more and do more. Come on, amen. Amen. That's how it works. Yeah. I know, and I'm going to share this one. Don't throw nothing at me. Creflo Dollar. There was again, he was one of those guys, man, he is anointed. There's a few things that I've scratched my head on, okay, with some of the things he said. But his ministry is so impactful. It's worldwide, and he shares the gospel all over the place. And he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, again, I'm not saying I agree with every single aspect of things that he has said. Okay? But I'm telling you, God gives and he blesses. And he does amazing things. He came up and shared this vision of a new jet. That he wanted a jet to be able to fly quicker and faster all over the world to be able to minister the gospel from here to here and be more effective in his ministry. Okay. It's your prerogative. That's between you and the Lord. If the Lord lays that vision on your heart, bless God, be obedient to that vision. Okay? So he came out and he had this vision. He laid out a vision of this jet. Okay? And he posted it on his website. And there's news. I mean, the media blasted this guy. I mean, they just attacked and attacked and attacked. So much criticism about asking for finances to help get this jet so he can fly back and forth ministry. He pulled it all down and said, okay, I won't. Lord, you're going to have to do this. If this is what you want, then you're going to have to do this. Okay? So it wasn't very long after that, he got a phone call from a prince over in, what is it? Is it Emirates?
Dubai.
Okay? And guy calls him, gets connected with him, and says, Pastor Creflo, my wife was watching your show, your ministry the other night. And you prayed specifically for something that my wife was dealing with. Okay? Specifically. And God healed her right there.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to pay for your jet. I'm going to buy your jet for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God blessed him. God gives and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives.
Hallelujah.
When we're obedient to what he's called us to do,
hallelujah,
we're faithful with our every aspect of our lives with our giving. I'm telling you, he blesses and he gives. God's given us and given us an amount to be stewards over. And the more, I'm telling you, the more we line up our hearts, it's a heart issue. It's not a religious issue. It's not a complicated issue. The more we line up our lives with God's word, especially when it comes to our finances, okay, the more he entrusts us to give more and do more. That's all there is to it. I promise you, that's how it works, man. I recently was blessed somebody and financially, and because that's what the Lord was telling me to do. And here's what God did for my family and for me. Okay? This is not gloating. This is gloating on God. Okay? Because I'm wanting you to understand, I'm totally okay with talking finances. You want to come after me? You want to come to me after church and talk to me about, oh, well, this person, oh, you want to, whatever. Okay, fine. But I'm telling you, I know tithing works because it's been in my life. I know healing works because I've been healed. I know how God does when it comes to finances. When I give, God has always given back to me in my life. So here's what happened. I gave, and I had been waiting on a substantial amount from somebody that bought something from me earlier in the year. And he's been dragging his feet, and I've really needed that finances to come in. It wasn't about a week later, after I gave, I got a phone call. Hey, I got your money. I'm going to get it over to you. Praise God. It wasn't that same week that I got a bonus at work, and it was double than what I was expecting. So you can't outgive God. I'm telling you, when we give generously, come on. That's what God's word says. It's what's in your heart. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. This is not the dollar amount. It's what's in your heart. It's about being obedient to God's word. There is so much more teaching in depth about tithing. And I get it. I just scratched the surface and just shared a couple of scriptures. And I just scratched the surface when it comes to giving. And I get that. But my prayer to you guys is that, and my challenge to you guys is, go home and study up on finances. Study up on tithing. Study up on what the Word of God is saying about giving. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, let's all stand. I've seen there's a family in our church that gave big. And I'm not going to mention who they are. They gave big. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Someone gave somebody a car. How incredible is that? Just blessed them. Could have turned around and sold that car for a good amount of money for their family. But their treasure was first and foremost God. And their hearts were to give. Because they understand it's all in the heart. And they gave. Because God was unctioning on their heart to do it. They wanted to be obedient. And I have seen nothing but blessings. And I've watched. I kind of stepped back and seen and just watched. And God has blessed and blessed and done open doors and amazing things in their lives. True story, man. True story. So my prayer again, every aspect of our lives is connected with finances. Let's make sure we're lining our lives up with what God is saying when it comes to finances. It's important. You guys good? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. It's been quiet. It's okay, Lord. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for this time, God. I wanted to, my prayer is that this church is and gets even more ridiculous about giving and gets even more crazy about their finances and just giving more and more into you, Father, from blessing their neighbor to blessing the person up the street to blessing everybody or just giving and giving and giving. Lord, I pray that this church becomes just an absolutely ridiculously giving church, giving to their neighbors, giving to family, giving just and giving and giving, giving at the restaurant to our waiters and waitresses. Lord, I thank you for it, Lord. You've called us to give, so we're going to give, and we're going to give big, Father. And Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that it stays with hearts today. Lord, that everyone in this room would take this word home and chew on it, Father, and talk about it. As spouses, they talk about it, God. As a couple, that they talk about your word, Father, and read the scriptures again. Follow up on your word, God. I just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I just want to pray again. I just want to encourage you again, continue praying for our pastor. All right? He is definitely needs some prayers. He has been hurting. And so definitely be lifting him up. Text him and just tell him and give him an encouraging word. He would love it. And don't forget, Miss Cherry, y'all, there's bread back here in the back. You guys good?